Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have Queen of Tears, episodes 3 and 4. Lock up your dogs, y'all. We've got a scary villain in the mix. With a tumor and schemers all around, what could go wrong? Let's find out. So, good morning, Juliet.
Hello.
How are you?
Well, not as good as you, because I texted you at 8 and you had just gotten up. Meanwhile, I've been up for 2 hours, so you would think I'd be a lot more alive and awake.
Yeah, we usually record these on weekdays. Today is a weekend. And yeah, I have entered the zone of parenthood where my kids sleep in and leave us alone. So I had to wake up with an alarm this morning and I snoozed
God.
It. I snoozed it and I was like, okay, I gotta get up for this.
I cannot wait until the day. I know there was a time when you had poor sleepers. So
yes.
I know it will turn around.
Correct.
I just needed 4 more years.
I was asking you how you are because as of this recording, President Biden has signed into law something that is going to greatly affect your life.
I am not well.
Government is saying TikTok owns too much news in this country and that ByteDance has to sell within 12 months.
I or am it's not well. And I am quite angry about it because you mother effers can't do anything about gun control, about abortion rights, but suddenly you're going to act so swiftly on the TikTok ban because they're taking our information?
They're saying, which was a shocking stat to me, that over 30% of Americans get their news on TikTok. That is so shocking to me. I would never go to TikTok for news.
Oh, that's where I get my news. It's a reputable source of information.
How do you decipher between what's real and not real?
Oh, I mean, this is why this is the work that I used to do. It's a very difficult job. There is a lot of misinformation, and especially when you have, in a very like innocuous way, you will find like people saying like medical information based on their own experience that people will take as truth. And so that it's a really tough job as a social media company to decide what is allowed and what is not. However, I think because there's been such a movement, a lot of news and journalists are using TikTok as their platform to disseminate news. I mean, it's shocking that on both sides of the aisle, they decided that this was such a imminent issue that they had to act this swiftly.
You put China, news, yes, exactly. National security, social media money that they could be getting.
Right.
Then they're going to
Right. Invest. I mean, if you look at the investments that these senators, Congress people have in Meta, is quite shocking.
My dad in his older age, who's become totally pro-China right wing, he just is like, the United States are just such hypocrites.
It's a bit of a racist point of view.
That everything China does is bad.
Yeah. And funny enough, on TikTok, there is a threat of Chinese influence, like Chinese American influencers who are really upset about how Korea has been taken by firestorm. Makeup and pop music, they're like, those have Chinese origins. I mean, they sound like you. You know, they're like, this makeup is Douyin makeup or something. Like, you know, but they never will give credit to China because there is such a negative perception of China.
Okay, so I just went to lunch with a girlfriend. She's like, okay, there's like this noodle soup place. Like, noodle soups are our thing, right? So she takes me there and we're going towards kind of the Korean side of town. And I was like, okay, yeah, noodle soup. And like, you don't get noodle soup in Korean parts of town, right? So we pull up and I'm not even reading it. And it's mala tang. And it's Korean style mala tang, which is to me like if you were to say Korean style Panda Express or like Chinese would never go like Chinese style bibimbap.
Yeah. I've seen this place, but I didn't know that that was originally from China.
Everything is originally, but this is what I'm telling you.
Well, I assumed that name to me sounded like Singaporean or Malaysian.
Mala is like the spice, that really stingy spice.
Yes, and that's so funny because it's Korean owned. And
yes, it
says there's Korean
style.
And there's like Korean letters all over that place.
Oh, yeah. No, it is a Korean joint. And it was basically hot pot, which is also a Chinese thing. It's so both things
right.
are stolen.
Well, if there's one thing that Koreans do really well, it is
copy
and paste. In fact,
and make better. I have to say, make better.
Have you seen, there is this controversy right now with Min Hee Jin, who is seen Min Hee Jin, who is a CEO of Adore, which is a subsidiary of Hybe, and she's created New Jeans essentially.
This is for those who don't listen to Korean pop music. New Jeans was the new Blackpink.
Last year or 2 years ago, so hot, so fresh. And they've kind of died down suddenly, right? And like have not produced really any music in the last few months.
Although they are supposedly coming out with something new soon.
This CEO, she's a female, is in an argument with the Hybe founder.
Yeah, the big wigs.
And she had a press conference where she was just losing it.
She loses her mind.
She straight up has screenshots of her Kakao chats with him. It's like, look at what he said to me. You know, and I'm like, you are unhinged.
But she has a good point. And of course, I get this download. My Korean TikTok is my husband because he will find it elsewhere and then he takes it to me. But he's translating it to me as Hybe brought her in to create this, basically this like subsidiary imprint to make New Jeans type girl bands. And then Hybe has now created a new girl band called Elite.
And they're the hottest thing right now. Yes. They're the exact same number of girls, exact same look. The dance moves are the same.
The music sounds so similar. So,
the argument she's making is like, they're basically taking all my ideas and copying and like not giving New Jeans any credit. But I was like, but that's also what you guys did, you know, with the rest of the music industry.
Yeah, but like what kind of parent company steals the ideas from a subsidiary, copies it, and then cannibalizes their own group?
Yeah, but also she is, I think, the only female CEO of the subsidiaries. And in her press conference, she's calling them keseki, which is basically like these motherfuckers. And you see her lawyers are next to her and they're... heads are in their hands. They're standing up trying to like bring her down. And she is going off the rails. It is so entertaining to watch.
Speaking of people who copy other people's music. So I got invited by some company who's trying to win my business to this Justin Timberlake new album concert.
Is it at a casino?
He would be at casino level.
He's
now.
He's going to be there very soon.
Yeah. Do I want to see Justin Timberlake? Because, and I'm asking you because the last time I saw Justin Timberlake in concert was with you.
Maybe. No, it was at least 15 years ago.
Yeah.
It was with Jay-Z. That's right.
This is one of the first times I ever hung out with Juliet. We love to tell this story because the best introduction into the ratchet life that we would lead together.
That's right.
Into the next 15 years because, first of all, this concert was in the sticks.
In the sticks. We had to walk through the hood to get there, right? Because we had got dropped off quite far away. We were just like chugging wine from the bottle as we were walking and then having another mixture of drinks. And I cannot handle mixes.
And so we sit down and everything's fine. And there's four of us.
The concert was so fun too. We
so great. Great time
dancing. And this is when he was in his peak.
Oh yeah, prime.
So it was a great, I mean, that would have been a concert to go to.
I know. I don't know about anymore. But so then we're all like standing, having a good time. We sit, I look over. And so this is my first time seeing this. I have seen this many times since. Julia is just slumped over.
Well, head between my knees. Just puking. I don't even know where. On the floor?
On
I don't know
the
where.
Spot.
I don't know where I was puking.
Between her knees. She just puked right there at our seats. I don't feel like we had like a whole, we got to get her out of here. I think we stayed
the entire concert. I almost think we shut it down. Like we stayed there till the end.
So were you just splashing around in your puke pile?
I have no idea. I don't remember. But I remember I got back up and I started dancing again.
Also, me and the other two friends didn't help her, didn't pick up anything or clean her up. Maybe we dabbed your chin, but everyone just kept going. It was a great night. And then when we were going home, of course, somebody loses their wallet.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
But then the police picked it up.
The police. It was a great, great night.
Anyway, that was when we all knew that this was a forever friendship.
Yeah.
If we could survive that. Yeah. So I was just reminded of you when I got that invite. I don't think this concert would be as fun.
Nope. Well, that's about when you fell in love with me. Just as Hyunwoo is starting to fall in love with Hyun.
That's right. episode 3 and 4, we are watching these two married people fall back in love with each other. Episode 3, we see Hayeon's point of view as she's falling back in love with her husband. We open episode 3. He has just saved her from the boar. He's carrying her in his arms. The aunt sees this and says, she takes her sunglasses down and she goes,
oh my gosh.
It was so good. I feel like you can tell if a Korean can speak English when they can say, oh my God, or oh my gosh, because otherwise it's, oh my God. Reliably amazing, per usual, that aunt. Did your heart flutter in the scene? He picks her up. He very drama-like carries her down the hill. Her ankle suddenly got sprained.
I don't know what it feels like to have a heart flutter. Now I'm almost just anticipating every time something happens. I want him to swoop in.
There is a lot of him saving her in the show.
Yes,
so far.
I have a bone to pick about that, but we'll talk about that at the end.
Okay. We flash back to 4 years ago. Hyunwoo still believes Hayeon is very poor, and Hayeon is visiting his hometown, and he's kind of like showing off his orchard, and he's so proud and
love.
And he's giving her, you know, a popsicle, and she's
like, oh, you could have whatever you want because my mom owns this store.
And then she's never had this strawberry frozen
jujupa, which is like a thing that every kid would have.
And he thinks it's because she's super poor.
Probably she got imported Haagen-Dazs.
He says he's saved up 2 million won, which is only $2,000.
Oh, gosh.
The point of this flashback is meant to show that he was willing to be with her no matter what, money or not. And it's actually the scene that she flashes back to as the boar races towards her. So he's definitely still so important to her. So she's recovering from the boar attack. We have a drama trope alert. Couple is forced to sleep in the same room trope. They have to share a bed.
They act like... And this is another bone I have to pick with this drama. They've only been married for 3 years.
That's right.
And we see all these scenes where they were clearly very much in love. There's a lot that has happened between them. And now they just cannot stand each other. The thought of touching each other is so egregious, which doesn't seem believable.
And it's also interesting because I don't think she feels that awkward. But I think he just like really doesn't like her. Or is also kind of scared of her.
Yeah.
Like I feel like the scene with the bed... Where so they have a king size bed and they're as far apart from each other as possible, and he still feels like this bed is too small.
Right.
Like when I have fights with my husband and it's time to go to sleep, I like don't want to go in there. I'm that kind of person. Like I'm a Hyunwoo. Like I would just rather not.
Yeah. so wait, what is he supposed to do? Sleep on the couch?
Who, my husband or Hyunwoo?
Yeah. Both.
It depends on who's mad at whom. But very rarely do we don't actually sleep apart when we're having a fight.
Yeah.
So we do sleep together, but the feeling I have is like, oh, I don't want to go in there.
We had one of those last week where I went to bed first and I was just angry. And then I was like, oh, God, why is he sleeping here? But I know the feeling of being like so uncomfortable. And then you don't sleep well because you're just ruminating.
Yeah, and the other person's awake and you know they're awake, but you're not talking to them. I think that feeling that he has going into that room, like I was like, it's a little unbelievable, but I also get it. They have not done this in probably at least a year, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying it feels unbelievable that they fell out of love so intensely within, let's say, a year or a year and a half.
Yes. We still don't know what was...
Yeah, there's clearly a lot of history.
They get into the room finally. He's like about to sneak into bed with his full clothes on.
Yeah.
That's how awkward he is. I don't think he wants to shower near her. He's just so awkward. And it's so awkward. It's amazing. She's like, aren't you going to go take a shower? He's like, oh. So we get a shower scene. Every drama, another drama trope. We need a shower scene where we can see the male lead half
naked.
We need to see what he's been doing with his upper bod. What has the workout been, Kim Soo-hyun?
He could be on Physical 100.
I was going to say, after watching 9 episodes of Physical 100, I was like, this guy could do some push-ups.
Oh,
he's all abs.
He's all abs.
Yes.
Those could be drawn on. You know, a little shading, a little contouring.
His arms are a little skinny and his shoulder, because they always show the back as they're soaping in the back. And I was like, this guy could do a little bit more on the back. Some more lats work. I mean, I'm not complaining. His wife isn't complaining either. She sees him and is mesmerized. Back to this, like, how long has it been? They haven't been to a pool together.
Right.
No Jeju Island retreats for them. Yeah, she acts like she hasn't seen him in so long.
Or maybe he was just like so scrawny before and he's been working out in angrily all this time, like just like getting all his rage out.
Yeah. This is what people in drama land call ultimate fan service, where it's just, this is just for the fans. These right scenes. It's funny because she's like turned on by him, but is angry at him for turning her on. It's just, she's the best character. They're miles apart in the bed, but they're talking about how they shared the same twin bed many years ago on that same visit. And it's actually very sweet. We see how sweet they were with each other.
Yeah.
You see the bed from above and the space between them, and you could really feel how far apart they are.
Although, you know, we have a king size bed and we can go without touching each other for days if we wanted, really, because it's so far. It really is huge.
You really have to like crawl your way over there.
Yeah, you have to
there
be intentional about touching each other, except, you know, if you have a queen size, you're just like, oh.
So we're just watching this whole episode. Hayeon is falling back in love with her husband. We're falling in love with her husband. She is the audience. The audience is her.
And she asks her assistant, like, is it normal for a woman who's been married for 3 years to look at her husband and like think he's so handsome? And her assistant's like, no, that friend is ill. She should get her brain checked.
And she does. She goes to her doctor. This Hayeon falling back in love with her husband, she thinks is because of her tumor.
Yeah.
That's how bad it is.
So Hayeon also has a lot of empathy for the people that she's seeing. Like, she's puts an umbrella over a little stray cat, and she feels very sorry for some of her employees who have unfortunate situations at home. And she's like, I've never been this way. So she goes to the doctor and asks him, is this a symptom of my illness? And he's like, no, it could also be that because you know death is imminent, that your view of the world is softening and you feel more connected to people. If you ever think like, oh, my life is actually quite short. Mm-hmm. You know, we have not that many years left, not that many decades. Mm-hmm. It makes you a lot more mindful of the things that you do mm-hmm in your life. Like, I think a lot about our kids, and they have, what, 16 summers left. You have even fewer than that. Mm-hmm. And then in the moments where I feel really frustrated, then I know, I sort of have a awakening mm-hmm to appreciate what's happening in front of me.
Right.
So that must be what she's going
instead
through.
Instead of saying, Kichipe! You're
like, Keseki!
How can I help you, child?
I saw this thing too that was like, close your eyes and imagine yourself being 80 years old. Oh. And how much you are going to want to be back in this moment. Oh. I think about that daily.
Right. So she's starting to feel empathy when she used to be ice cold. I really like empathetic Hayeon. I'm liking this era for her. It's her empathy era.
So, you know, IU was supposed, they asked IU to be the lead in
oh,
this.
Really?
But I think Kim Ji-won is a better fit.
Yeah. Man, Kim Ji-won is an actress.
She is so good. I've really fallen in love with her.
So then we see, like us, falling in love with her, Hyun-woo in episode 4 is falling back in love with his wife. We start episode 4 with a pretty funny setup where Hyun-woo's dumbass sister and brother went to Seoul to try to convince Hayeon not to divorce Hyun-woo. But then Hyun-woo gets wind of it and is like, you dummies, I never told her about this. And they had already texted her. So Hayeon is out drinking with, oof, creepy David.
Uh-huh. Whatever his name is.
And she comes home really wasted and her phone is in her bag. And Hyun-woo is trying desperately to get this phone so he can erase this text message. Because he's dead if she sees this text message. So she's really drunk. They're walking around. Anyway, he like throws the phone. And it's very hilarious, him trying to get this phone.
He was trying to grab it and she thought that he was grabbing for her hand, and then she kisses him. And it seems like they have not done this in a very long time.
And the drama trope is that normally the guy surprise kisses the girl and she does the open eyes shocked kiss thing, you know, where like
yes
her eyes are just open awkwardly because she's so shocked she's being kissed. He does it. He has the open eye kiss. It's a great
yes
flip on the trope.
And then all this stuff happens. He eventually gets the phone.
Yes. And then he punches in the code and it is 1031. And so we've gone from a very hilarious scene to now we're saying, okay, he goes, Solma? Okay, I was thinking we could do like a Korean word of the day.
Solma? Could it be? Is, so that, you the, say is that the word of the day?
Yeah. So you say that when you're like shocked, because they say it a lot. And
yeah. It's like an unbelievable. How could this, like, could it be?
He's shocked at the pin code and we're not sure why. We flash back. It turns out they were supposed to have a baby.
Oh. And that was the due date. Mm-hmm.
And even more hurtful is they had the nursery built.
So it turns out it's his room because he had installed all of those glow-in-the-dark, you know, the solar system up on the ceiling, took it down except for one piece. So when he turns off the light, he can see it.
That was a really sad scene.
It was heart-wrenching.
Yeah. That was, I think, a peek into maybe what started the demise of the relationship. We now watch as Hyunwoo starts falling back in love with his wife, but he's very much in denial about it. Whereas his wife is like, oh, is this happening? But he's like, no.
He's like, oh, my heart was racing because I was scared of her. Yeah, that's why.
I'm terrified. They're walking around Queen's department store. So Queen's department store is actually Hyundai. And we went there and it is so nice. It's like,
really? Is it white. Only luxury?
Yes.
It's items?
Very luxury on all the top floors. 2B, they put the cool girl street wear brands that like you and I don't know, you know? Yeah. Because the cool kids in Korea are so cool.
They're so cool.
Wait, shoe game there is crazy.
Yeah, are they wearing white shoes with a silver jewel in the middle?
So my mother-in-law has those
shoes. Oh my God.
That's like a shoe.
Maybe they're like really popular.
I think those really bejeweled shoes
they kind of look like they should be Manolos with that square jewel.
Okay, so I just looked it up. This crystal square shoe is a Roger Vivier.
Oh, what?
It's $1,400.
Okay, clearly we don't know what we're talking about. But he got it on sale.
He did get it on sale. So things are going well between the couple. They seem to be really falling into each other's good graces again. Hyunwoo, though, is still very nervous around his wife. He gets a text from her that's like, it's good news, don't worry. And he's still nervous. I was nervous. He sits down in her room and there's a white envelope on the bench.
What did you think it was?
I thought she found his divorce papers.
Ah, so did I.
Instead, it's actually a European trial has written her back to cure her tumor.
She has a 51% chance of survival.
That I think that 1%, putting it over 50, really hurt him the most.
And so then he's scribbling in his notebook, 49% of death, 51% of life. Like, he's devastated and he's sobbing.
He's now again convinced he can't do it. Like, if she survives, he can't live this way.
Yeah. And there is a scene, and I'm not sure if it's a flashback or flash forward, but he's like taking a handful of melatonin. Mm-hmm. And apparently melatonin is prescription only in Korea. So I've heard people say when you go to Korea, people there really like you bringing melatonin for them.
Oh, interesting.
Here he is taking 4, which probably is an overdose.
That's interesting because my mother-in-law walks around with just packs and packs of little pills, like all sorts of different things. I don't know. So I just thought medicine
maybe, maybe she's just taking like anti-anxiety around you.
Medicine is eating come by, just a blindness pill. So she doesn't see how dirty my house is. But as he's telling attorney friend, he's like, I can't go on. This is too hard. Attorney friend brings up a really good point. He's like, if she falls in love with this rival,
Eunsong, the Herkina guy,
then actually Hyunwoo is free and he should be rooting for them to get together.
And he's like, you'll get alimony.
So the attorney friend is a great,
Hyunwoo doesn't want that to happen.
Right. He's like, okay, that would be fine, except anyone but him, because he has a very bad feeling about Eunsong, which is very right. So we get a lot of Eunsong, which I've been writing down. His name is David the X.
Oh, that's right, David.
But now I'm calling him David the Dog Killer because we are learning a little bit more about our villains. And these villains, there's a lot of villains in the midst of this family. And they're like really good villains. It's not like Marry My Husband Soomin. She was like an amateur villain.
They try to make us empathetic towards Soomin. But here, these villains are scary.
They're very scary. They're professional villains. So you have Yoon Eunsong, David the X. I'm now calling
David the Dog Killer.
David the Dog Killer. He's the obvious number one villain.
Yep.
Top of the call sheet on the villain list. He's been just kind of smug and annoying up until now. But episodes 3 and 4 really see he's really up to no good. Episode 3, we see a dog incident.
There's a groundskeeper, I think, on the Queen's villa
the
property,
hunting villa.
The hunting villa property. And he has this dog that like rescued his son. the chairman of Queen's Group says he wants the dog. He'll pay him. Groundskeeper's like, no, we can't do that. He's family to us. And then David the dog killer comes over later at night and it's like, I'll offer you, I don't know, what, $10,000?
I think it was $100,000.
Oh, is it $100,000?
Yeah. This is $100 million.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. $100,000 US. And the groundskeeper's like, okay.
Yeah, how could you pass that up?
Right. So the groundskeeper comes back the next day to David, the dog killer, and says, actually retract that offer because I can't give away this dog. This dog is family to me. I was temporarily insane when I said yes. And of course, David the dog killer, true to his name, turns and tries to kill the dog.
Yeah.
He's like, well, then I guess nobody can have him.
Puts the gun on him like a true psycho.
So it turns out that he was an orphan.
Yes.
And the groundskeeper has a memory of this orphan that they were a part of. I think the Queen's Group was supporting this orphanage. So the groundskeeper has a memory of a kid who killed a dog at the orphanage. He's like, doesn't he remind you of that kid? Doesn't David the dog killer remind you of that kid? And so the story starts to come together. It seems that he was an orphan at this Queen's Group orphanage. So he must be holding some grudge against the company.
Yes. I find it very suspicious because they say that his original parents in Korea died. That's why he's an orphan. But then he goes and gets adopted in America and they die too. So he's got a lot of dead parents mm-hmm. and dead dogs around him.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if his parents used to work for the Queen's Group, something of that effect, and then they died because of something the chairman did, because he's holding such an almost unreasonably harsh grudge against his family.
Yeah. So we're getting insight into why he is doing what he's doing. And so what he seems to be doing, and we learn it later in episode 4, is he's trying to manipulate directors in the Queen's Group. He's tricked them into getting into a fund with him that's mm-hmm. returning 90%. So they'll really believe in everything that this fund is doing. And then they are now jumping into a new fund and they're using their Queen's Group stock as collateral.
Right.
So he's definitely trying to go for this shareholder play.
And then there is an investigation that they have instigated against the chairman, because it sounds like the chairman is also embezzling some funds.
Like, what CEO doesn't have a slush fund?
Yeah, but also, why do you need a slush fund? You have so much money.
The scenes with David and Hayne, to me, don't play great because he's so creepy. And Hyunwoo can see that this guy is up to no good. And David is so just like pissing all over his wife, basically, in front of him. I wouldn't believe that Hayne, as a very smart businesswoman and a smart woman, wouldn't have a radar of like, oh, this guy's trying to put a wedge between me and my husband. Really? I feel like she's smarter than this.
Arguably, she is so singly focused on getting his business. But I do agree. Even the way that he's like touching her, and he kind of gets upset because he says, you get pissed off when I touch your hair. Why are you not getting upset when he's touching your hair? Just be fair.
In your reactions, just get mad at everyone or don't get mad at anyone. It was so good. Yeah, that scene was really cute in the kitchen. Hyunwoo is 질투? No.
질투. Oh, look at you. You are picking up some words. 질투, which is jealousy.
That is such a common drama word. A lot of 질투 in the dramas. Oh, is it? A lot of 질투. And she actually finds it really cute. She little smiles a little bit. So it's making her happy that he's giving her attention.
Do you like it when your husband has 질투?
No.
Towards you? No.
I don't. Because it's always very unfounded.
Yeah.
With my guy friends.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's also another thing. It's like when you get married, you know, pre-marriage, I had a ton of guy friends. I love to like watch sports at bars. Like just would do that all the time. No problem. Now post-marriage, you kind of just don't do that anymore. Right. Everything's a couple thing. But I have a lot of these work friends that are guys. And they're so non-threatening. Like any other coworker that worked with me and these people would be like, there's nothing. Like there's nothing to worry about with this guy. I'm just very easy to be like, hey, I miss you. Yeah, so one time this happened to be on Valentine's Day.
Oh god.
It's an old coworker and I didn't even know it was Valentine's Day, and these texts go back and forth and I just hadn't talked to this person in a long time, and at the end I go, okay, miss you, and my husband saw that text.
Oh dear.
And there was a lot of splaining to do, as Ricky Ricardo used to say.
A lot of do.
This is annoying. Why can't I text my friends?
Meanwhile, my husband never gets 질투. Not that I don't think I would like that. I used to date somebody who was really bad, and that it actually is the worst feeling.
To have somebody
who's like overly possessive or gets jealous about every interaction you have with another male. But my husband is on such the opposite extreme. He's like, what? Why would that guy?
Do you on Valentine's days text old coworkers, miss you?
A few gay coworkers I have, but definitely not straight ones.
So that's David the dog killer. So he's working with Sneaky Matchmaker. When I looked her up on the cast list to see like what her job is, because we weren't sure last week, it listed her as butler.
Okay.
It's very old school. She's like the Mr. Belvedere of this family. But this mom really listens to her. And so Sneaky Matchmaker really abuses her powerful position and sows discontent all over this family. Now I'm starting to believe that she told Hyunwoo a few episodes ago
about the will.
And how he was cut out of the will.
Yes. She's I started like, to think knows. That. Yeah. That must have been a lie.
She's definitely lying about that.
Because she reveals here that she's upset that Hane got married to Hyunwoo. Mm-hmm. Because she, as the matchmaker, was trying so hard to bring another like royal family into the fold. And then that would increase her credibility, I suppose. But she was upset that Hane chose love. And that's why she hates Hyunwoo.
Yes.
The matchmaker does.
Right. And she also says that this mom will believe anything she says. And she's very gullible.
And she is all about fortune tellers.
Yes.
And shamans.
Yes. Yeah. So she just mentions astrology to this Hane's mom. And she basically lies to Hane's mom and the sister-in-law and say that Hane is trying to keep David the dog killer from working with the little dumb brother. And the mom sits there and just eats up every word of it. Sister-in-law also sitting there.
We have to talk about the sister-in-law.
Okay, so she's in my what's up with segment for the day. This sister-in-law, Hane's little dumb brother's wife.
Yes. She portrays herself as a very docile, clueless,
Chebble wife.
Bit character.
Yeah.
You know? But I think there must be more because she was serving her husband drinks. They're sitting together. And the way that she was cleaning the cups and the way she was pouring makes me believe she was a former bottle service girl.
Oh.
I don't know. I just, because I mean, I was like, why else are they so focused on the way she's cleaning it? And then she's like, so I don't drink. I can't drink. And then her husband goes to the bathroom and she like chugs the whiskey.
Like chugs it.
Yes.
She downs
it.
The cup. And then he comes back and the bottle is totally empty.
Yeah. So there's something with her that makes me think maybe she's like a mini villain. It was a weird focus.
It was
me.
A very what's up
what's
with.
What's up with.
Also, like, if you're going to be a raging secret alcoholic, you've got to drink vodka.
Right.
That brown juice, people are going to be smelling it on you. Yeah. But vodka, no scent. Just stick that in your freezer. The other person that's on the possible villains list is the chairman's wily girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
She's very suspicious. She's definitely running a long con because she's been around for 20 years. Could you ever, like, fake love a man like the chairman for 20 years to run some. I don't know what her end game is, but
I mean, if you're getting the custom made suits and the fancy watches and the, you know, Italian shoes, just as Hyunwoo is getting.
Right.
I guess. I mean, do you think they're having sex?
Oof. That's tough.
Probably not. Right. Don't you think like he's having such a hard time getting it up that she doesn't have to get it on with him that often.
I mean, I was going to say the chairman does not look well. He looks sick. And so there's a scene later with she presents him with soup after he has like kind of a harrowing day. And he looks like kind of sweaty and like he needs to get his liver checked. He needs to go back to his old drama hospital playlist and get his liver checked.
Well, remember
I thought she was poisoning him.
If you had a liver issue in hospital playlist, remember you would turn like dark.
You
would turn
dark.
Like yellow and dark on there.
Yeah, I thought maybe she was poisoning him with that soup. Or maybe she is slowly poisoning him because he does not look well. But she's been around for 20 years. We also see in these episodes, 20 years is exactly the same time that Eung Bum-suk number 2.
Oh, I was waiting for that.
The eldest son. That's when he got in trouble with the chairman.
Right.
I'm not clear what happened.
So it seems like Eung Bum-suk had sold off his father to the prosecution for maybe another embezzlement scheme and saved himself.
I see.
And so his father, the chairman, ended up going to prison for the crime.
But was there a mix-up? Like, I thought maybe Eung Bum-suk said that he thought his dad was going to throw him in jail.
Right.
So I think there was a communication thing.
Yeah. And I suspect Mo, her last name is Mo, the girlfriend.
Oh, I see.
I don't know if there's a funny nickname we can come up with that, but
Mo money, Mo problems.
Oh, that's so good. But she was probably a part of sowing discord between them.
Yes. I feel like the timing of that is very convenient.
And did you notice when Mo Money, Mo Problems and David the Dog Killer are walking past each other in the courtyard, they kind of steal a glance at each other.
So I actually noted this. I was like, they nod to each other as if they either know each other or don't know each other. It's not clear with Korean greetings.
But see, if they didn't know each other, he would have, I think, given her a better greeting.
I see.
Yeah, he would have bowed to her. Also, what if they're actually sleeping together?
Oh, interesting. I was actually going to say that there's a difference in strangers greeting each other in Korea versus America. And I've seen this because when we go on hikes in America and you pass people coming towards you going the other direction, you know, you say, good morning or hi, you know, like just strangers. Hiking with my mother-in-law, she's like, oh my God, in Korea, you would never
acknowledge anybody else.
A stranger walking on the path.
That's hilarious. Because I saw a TikTok about that. Like,
oh, really?
An American who's living there, like a white American who's living in Korea right now, she did a comparison of what hiking in Korea versus America looks like. And she's like, you don't even look them in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really interesting to me because when I grew up in a predominantly Asian town. And then I moved to a majority, almost completely white town when I was in third grade. And my parents were so shocked because they would go walking in the neighborhood and people would be like, hi, how are you? And they would be like, what? Are they talking to me? Because they were not used to that.
So that's why I was like, oh, maybe that's just how strangers greet each other. Like they kind of wouldn't even say hi to each other. But I think because he knows her position in this house, he should be bowing to her. There's something going on between those two. Perhaps they are lovers. But if she's been doing this for 20 years, oh, maybe she's his mom.
That would not fall out of the realm of possibility here because Koreans are so fucking crazy about the like complicated relationships, but that makes sense.
Yes. She could be his maybe dead, maybe not dead mom.
Yes.
Or like something, the Queens group did something to the father.
Yes.
And they're both taking revenge out on this family and it's taking this long.
Yeah, but 20 years, man, that is...
It's a long...
She's like, let me get as many luxury items before I exact my revenge.
Get those crystal sneakers on, Ajumma. Right. The other reason why we also think girlfriend is up against Hung Bum Suk number two is because Hung Bum Suk tells his other brother, Hae-in's dad, like, hey, I just went to the villa with no bad intentions. I just want to see my dad. And he's like, I talked to the girlfriend and she said he was sleeping, so she turned me away. Then Hae-in's dad goes to ask Mo Money, Mo Problems girlfriend, hey, was Hung Bum Suk here? She's like, I never saw him. Is that what he's saying? You should be very careful about people who are in low position with nothing. And so she is now also discrediting Hung Bum Suk. Right. But my big question is, do we think she's the one trying to kill Hae-in? Because it doesn't seem like David is the one who set up the boar.
Right.
He wasn't on the phone with Sneaky Matchmaker. So she's still on the phone with a mysterious person. Wily girlfriend, she tells Chairman, again, she drops a shaman's name and she says, my shaman woke up this morning and said that you were going to die today if you went hunting. So she pulled him from the field.
Right.
And then Hae-in took his spot.
Yes.
And that was his territory.
Right.
So she wouldn't have pulled him from the field if she was trying to kill Chairman.
Yeah, but maybe she's using this as a way to make herself look better, you know, like as his protector. But I find it strange that she would direct the boar towards Hae-in because it doesn't seem like she has any ill will against her. I mean, they haven't clashed.
But Hae-in owns a lot of shares.
Right.
And so if Hae-in, and if it's true, the rumor that Hae-in is going to give all her shares back to Queen's group.
Yeah.
Then maybe this is a play to get rid of Hae-in, get her shares back into the pool, and somehow buy up her share. Something like that.
That is a fascinating take.
Chock full of villains this show is turning out to be. We thought it was just going to be a love story of two people boringly getting back together. But no, there is a lot more here. I'd say in juxtaposition to these villains, I think they make Hyun-woo too innocent and guileless in this show. Hyunwoo is not a great counter to David the dog killer. He's like so innocent. Like David the dog killer's at this breakfast table pissing over everything and just marking his territory over his wife. And Hyunwoo has like kind of nothing to say back. He's just like, and then and then the one scene that I was like, oh my God, you're so dumb, is the cut gate with the corn scene. Because Hyunwoo, for whatever reason, is going out after dark when Hae-in just got like almost hit by this boar. And he sees that the gate is cut and he sees the corn. So he knows something suspicious is going on. And he straight up announces it at the table.
Oh, God.
At dinner in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Even in Marry My Husband, Hunky GM would have kept it secret.
That's right. Had his assistant go figure out what's going on.
Yeah, or like watch the video himself.
Yeah.
But this dummy is like, someone's trying to hurt in front of everybody, which allowed then Sneaky Matchmaker to go, I don't know, she like doctored the tapes. I don't know what happened. Yeah,
she did something. This is the bone that I have to pick that I mentioned earlier. And I have to remind myself, it's a Korean drama. This is just for entertainment and to live in a fantasy land. But what I have disliked so far is that they made this out to be kind of a reversal of roles, and she's a strong woman, she's a CEO, she can take care of herself. But in both instances that Hyunwoo has fallen in love with her, it is when she is helpless. Mm-hmm. So the first instance was when he thought that she was poor and she couldn't take care of herself, that he was like, I will be the person who takes care of you. And then on the flip side, now she's sick and he's falling in love with her again because he's seeing her in these circumstances where she can't help herself. And I'm like, is that the only time that you will fall in love with her, when you're helpless? And this, to me, doesn't help move the needle for women to be strong and independent and loved for their, just like their fierceness and their strength. You know, it's like only when you're can't help yourself.
I see your point. I'm really trying to dig hard to find a counterpoint to this. Yeah, it does play into this, like women being softer and more vulnerable makes them more lovable.
Mm-hmm.
I do, though, like to see her melting a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, she is more lovable.
Yeah.
Like, she was like a hard-ass person that is very hard to love. Like, I get that he isn't in love with that, like, really ice queen person. But she softens because the sister texts her, hey, my dad in this country town is losing his election. It'd be really great if you could just, like, come, like, right now. And she shows up. And she brings the Calvary, and she basically, like, she starts glitching and he frantically searching for her. He finds her, and then she's again cold ice princess. He's like, where have you been? What are you doing? And she's like, don't treat me like a patient. And he's like, fine.
But also, why are you yelling at me? Why is he yelling at her?
Because to him, he's like, why are you wandering around? Like, it was dark, right? So he couldn't see what state she was in. Yeah. He was like, why can't you like pick up your phone? We're all looking for you. And then the lights go up. Another drama trope. Lights all light up.
My son was watching it with me and he's like, how do the lights all turn on at the same time?
I know, they're on a timer. He sees her true state and she is a mess. Yes. Because she's been wandering around.
She's got her fake Adidas slides and they're all muddy.
And she sees him and he's so sweaty because he's been racing around trying to find her. And then finally she's vulnerable and tells him really what's happened. And I think that is what you need for them to come back together. Like, it's not that she's helpless. It's that she's like actually showing him vulnerability.
Yes.
And like, I do actually need you. And I am actually just a human. And that's easier to love than a robot.
Sure.
I get that. There's my counter.
Okay.
I cried in that scene when they hugged.
What?
Yeah. Because she's so good. Kim Ji-won in that scene.
Yeah, they are both very believable.
And that's just about everything big that happens in the episodes. I think the one last thing to mention is the epilogue of episode 4.
Where we flash back to high school. Hyunwoo is being dropped off at a high school in Seoul. It's supposed to be the number one school. And then you see a girl in the classroom who's being transferred out to study abroad. She storms out and this is Hae-in. She has a pink iPod copy, probably the Samsung version of it.
If it's anything like Google and Giggle, it's iPeed. Oh, guys, Julia loves that one.
Oh, God. This is state of my life. I just laugh at pee and poo jokes. Okay, so I peed. She has her eye peed, her pink eye peed. And she's listening to it, but then she trips. And, of course, here comes her knight in shining armor, Hyunwoo, who's just come to this new school, and he has a Band-Aid. Then we see that she has left her eye peed on the floor. I'm going to try to say eye peed as much as I can. And then he takes it.
Yeah.
And we see the connection because she had found the eye peed in his drawer at his parents' home when she went to visit.
This is another drama trope because this is the invisible string theory. People and things are in and out of your life, but the ones that are like meant to be will come back and stay in our lives forever, right? So these two have been bound by invisible string. It's a great Taylor Swift song called Invisible String. But also, have we talked about your story?
No, I don't think we have.
Julia has invisible string.
I do. But I would like to caveat this with, I don't want young people to believe that this is your life. Like, you know, and I think this is a criticism of Korean dramas, is that people grow up watching these things thinking like, this is what my life is going to be. Like, this is what my romantic story is going to be.
But tell them what your romantic story is.
I met my husband when we were in our late 20s at my cousin's wedding. We pretty much hit it off from the beginning. But when we met, I was telling my current husband that one of our friends was in my kindergarten class and we were kindergarten buddies. And my husband's like, I was in his class. So we go back to look at the picture.
The class picture, picture. The class group picture.
And we're all outside and he and I are standing right next to each other.
Yeah.
It was a very much like a goosebump moment because you realize like, oh, this person was here all along. I mean, I moved away soon after, so we didn't have a lot of connection after that. But my mom had a lot of pictures from when I was in kindergarten because she was like a room parent or a PTA mom. And there were so many pictures where he was in the background and I was, you know, in the main frame. But it was pretty
I am 100% a believer in this invisible string.
Are you?
Yeah. I think that everybody that's meaningful in our lives down the line, we either walked by them on the street somewhere, like, or sat on the same airplane together, or been in the same building in the elevator together. Yeah. Like, I totally believe that's true. I was going to ask you what your most heart-fluttering moment was, but your heart doesn't flutter, apparently.
Did you have a heart flutter?
Dead.
Did you have a heart-fluttering moment here?
I am loving this drama. I am laughing out loud, cackling. And you know when I really cackle, you and I both are like, we're hitters.
Yes.
We like are slappers. Yes. I am. My poor husband's arm must be purple because I'm just slapping and just laughing.
Which, by the way, a few weeks ago, you and I and your sister-in-law were drinking and I came home and I was like, I'm sore because you were hitting me. I was hitting you. And I was telling my husband, we were laughing so hard, but I don't remember what we were laughing about.
I woke up so hungover. I was like, what happened? Couldn't remember a dang conversation we had, but we talked until, I don't know, late in the night.
Yeah, almost. I mean, we were there for like 3 hours, but I just remember you and me hitting each other so aggressively.
Oh, we can't sit next to each other. Yeah.
We bruised.
If you were sitting next to me right now, you're sitting across the room. Yeah. If you were next to me right now, and I'd be shoving you.
If you said, I peed, she was listening to her, I peed, I would be punching in the face.
Oh my God, I want to just shove you in the face right now. That's how hilarious I find this. So good. Okay.
But I similarly have loved it to the point where I'm not taking notes because I'm just so engrossed. Same. And then I have to go watch.
And a lot is happening. Like, I heart fluttered at, I loved that end scene with the bicycle and she's lost. Mm. I just thought that was really well done. I don't like it when he's super cheesy with her and like presenting her shoes and stuff like that.
That is so funny because I was about to say, when he gave her the shoes, that was, I wouldn't say heart flutter, but I really loved that moment.
Really? I think it's so cheesy.
Because it was so out of character.
Yes.
You know?
I mean, it's hilarious.
And unexpected. Yes.
But is it a heart flutter thing? Like, are you like...
Not. Quite heart-flutter.
Yeah. Are you wishing your husband buys you shoes?
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. Get some crystal shoes in your life. Okay. this drama is so good. I'm so happy. Hope you guys are liking this drama just as much as we are. I know you are all ahead of us. Unfortunately, we're going to be taking this slow and steady, but hope you stay with us. We will be back next week with Queen of Tears episodes 5 and 6. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye. Bye.